Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Right now, you guys can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost, ZipRecruiter.com/GHOST, ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a friend tries to search for a logical explanation to unexplained music. Did deceased relatives return in a cloud of smoke to show themselves to the living? And hospital patients walk away from the hospital after they've died. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Brand new website up, by the way. I figured after 5 years it was time to redo it, so I redid it, and you can check it out. Everything's still up there. Nothing has really changed. Just a more, I guess, 2020-ish layout as opposed to 2014-ish style layout. So check it out at realghoststoriesonline.com for submitting your stories and such. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today, and how are you?
Well, I'm very excited to look at the new website, Tony.
It's new and exciting, and I've been trying to get it done all weekend, and I finally got it done today. So it's there, and it's pretty.
Well, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
That was very ambitious of you.
you have them up for a while, and when you build them, it's like, oh, this looks great. This is like so today. And then all of a sudden, you see some new websites a couple years later, and it's like, oh my God, my website looks like it's going to have like pixelation and Pong on it, or Dancing Baby, you know, something of that nature from 1994. What's amazing to me is the amount of websites that are still out there that do look like they could have the Dancing Baby on it and a ton of GIF images or whatever we called them back in the early 90s. And
it's kind of like a while back, I was driving down the street and somebody had their sign done in like a 1990s font.
Yeah.
Remember that one that everybody would use on their computer and you could kind of change the size of it?
Sure.
And stuff, and you could add color.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And I'm like, it looks so dated.
It does.
But at the time, I remember it being really cool.
Yeah.
You only had like a few choices.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially with that. And I was watching something the other day. I was listening to a Pandora 90s, not 90s, early 2000s channel. And it was playing like late 90s, early 2000s pop. And there was a certain font that like every pop artist was using on their album at that time. And it's kind of like this slanted, kind of curvy. Yeah. Like I remember Dido used it on her album, like the way she spelled her name, Robin. It was funny because like album after album after album from that era. And I remember at that time seeing that going, does anyone else want to use a different font anytime soon? Because we're going to look back on this in 15 years and go, what the hell? And here we are.
Because back then there was only like 20 kinds
of fonts. It's pretty ambitious if you have more than that.
You know, there wasn't any fancy photoshopping cool stuff you could do.
No. It was an amazing thing. If you saw a photoshopped image, you'd be like, oh my God, look, somebody photoshopped that. That must have taken them a week.
and you can so tell it was photoshopped.
Yeah. It's funny how all that stuff just kind of, you know, comes around and the perspective on it comes and goes. This like the what I've noticed I thought was interesting is the, and I've from the 90s, I never knew how to say it. And today I still don't know how to say it. And I call them GIF images or GIFs or whatever. It's the little animated, you know, images that everyone now uses on their, for memes or on their cell phone or on Facebook. And they were popular circa 1996. It was like, oh, this is funny. And then they all went away because everybody went, oh my God, it's only 256 colors and it looks really shitty. And okay, we're kind of over it. And it was gone for about 15 years. And all of a sudden, this whole new generation found them and they thought, this is wonderful. Why doesn't anyone use this? It's like, well, we
are. Because I don't even actually have to respond with words.
We did that
I
once.
I just respond with that.
I know. It's like we did that once without social media, but now we add that to the mix and it's exciting. Hey, new Stephen King movie, Pet Sematary, 2019 is going to be coming out. Are you excited being a pet person for Pet Sematary?
Well, I'm not the biggest Stephen King fan.
No.
Like I used to be.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, I just kind of, he and I went separate ways.
I just decided
he
to never get back.
He went one way and I didn't go there with him.
I don't know the last Stephen King movie I saw. I want to see the new It. We tried to watch it the other night, but it didn't work. But the, gosh, I don't even know, maybe probably The Shining or something. But I've never seen Pet Sematary, even the original.
I remember I read the book.
Yeah, but not the movie?
I don't think I ever saw the movie.
I have, it's one of those I think I've wanted to see, but I never did, and I don't know why I've never added it to my list. I think Salem's Lot I've seen. That's where the vampire kids come and tap on the windows or something. I was unaware of this, but Stephen King setting... for like the cities and everything, all are surrounded around this one fictional area. Were you aware of that?
No.
Because there was a television series on, and this is horrible because I'm going to talk about it, and I don't remember the name. And it was just on TV about, I think like last year. I don't know if it was on Amazon or Hulu or something. It's a Stephen King-based series, and it's centered around this one town. And I think the town is the name of the series. And apparently all of his books are somehow connected to this town. Like either Salem's Lot was like a suburb of this town, but there's something where they all kind of interconnect in this little universe. They're all geographically connected. And I was unaware of that when I was reading those books years ago.
I kind of get that though, because as a writer, you would want to, like, you could go to a certain place in your head, you could create it. Everything's being created in your mind.
Yeah.
But it'd be easier to go back to that area and expand upon that rather than create a new thing mm-hmm. every time.
I think it's really neat. It's like, oh, this whole twisted, hellish world that this town must be like. And it was interesting with that series because it really gave you a glimpse into this hellish, weird world that was going on there. In a multi 10-part series, I'll look that up when we do a call here. In fact, I'm going to jump to a call first, I think today, and then we'll get to some of the letters because I'm going to look up what that show is, and then we can talk about it a little bit.
We'll get back to the ghost stories in just a minute. You know, it's amazing how times change. Hiring people. I remember when I worked in radio and when I was in charge of doing some of that. At the stations, and it was a hellish process. It was. It's like you put, you know, there's only stuff out on job boards, and you hope for the best, and you just, you know, it's like, oh my God, it was like one of the least favorite things that I had to do. But nowadays, that has changed, and we're talking, this wasn't that long ago. It was like 10, 15 years ago. Today, if you want to hire, there's ZipRecruiter. Hiring used to be hard. It used to be one of those things you go, I don't want to do that. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, confusing review processes. Today, it can be super easy. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. Try it for free for yourself. You're going to understand what I'm talking about. ZipRecruiter, here's what they do. Here's what makes it different. It does all that work for you. Sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. Hey, don't stop there, though. Their powerful matching technology then scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and it actively invites them to apply for your job. Yes, it goes, you're qualified. You might like this. Come look. Applicants come in. ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates for you, so you never miss anything. It's right there. Great match. They found it. Here you go. That's why it's so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. Oh, my God. I so wish that this existed back then. But it's there for you today. Right now, you guys can try ZipRecruiter for free. It's exclusive web address. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. That's spelled G-H-O-S-T. ZipRecruiter.com/ghost. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's get our first caller today. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi, guys. It's Mickey from Wilkes-Barre, PA again. I just wanted to give you guys an update on the building I work in and how the footsteps that I heard on the second floor kind of make sense now. I'm no longer carrying a wrench in my back pocket. But I do, however, still carry a box cutter because I never know when I'm going to need it. But anyway, so shortly after I called you guys and told you what I had heard, it was literally probably about like 2 or 3 days after, my mom had sent me something that she found on Facebook, something that someone had posted on Facebook in Wilkes-Barre City history about what used to, the house that used to be there, be on the property that the building that I work in is now located. So I'm going to read you a little, just a little bit from what, I realize that I do say a lot, and I apologize, but so it used to be called the William W. Nyer Estate. There used to be this mansion that was on that property for many, many years. So I'm going to read you a little bit. It says, the family's second empire-style home and carriage barn was built by Nyer around 1865. Nyer was a well-known real estate agent and land developer of areas south of South Street, especially the streets of South Main and South Franklin. A little side note, I lived on South Franklin for many years. The land around the estate became known as Nyer Hill. The estate took up the entire corner of South Street and Park Ave. The home was abandoned in the early 1950s, and after sitting vacant for nearly a decade, the home and carriage barn were razed, the land was regraded, and a modern doctor's office building was built in its place today. This building exists at 245 East South Street, sitting atop Nyer Hill. So this Facebook post had three photos posted along with it, and one of these photos, we found very interesting. Let me backtrack a little bit. So when I found out this information, the coworker, one of the coworkers who I still work with on a daily basis, he is the head of our VR division. He's also one of the people who had heard the same thing that I had heard, the footsteps. And I showed him this, and his eyes got really wide, and the two of us just started laughing, and we both just felt completely validated because our boss had been making fun of us about this. Of course, our boss has nightmares from watching Law & Order, but that's a whole other thing. So anyway, so one of the pictures that was posted on this Facebook post was it was featured on an 1868 stereo card. Now, stereo card is the original 3D photography, which is what we do with our VR. We do 3D photos, we do 3D 3D videos, and the same, you know, like what you would think with VR, you know, like video games and stuff like that. But we just thought that was kind of crazy, and kind of, you know, like we kind of just like feel at home there. So the photos that were posted on this Facebook page, I've actually had I printed them all out just from Facebook, and I've had them hanging on my bulletin board in my office. And I did realize lately that, and I don't know if it's because we do have more employees now, but I haven't really noticed the footsteps so much anymore. And we are trying to, and we do refer to the building now as Nyer Hill, and we are trying to get copies of the photos to frame and put in our lobby. So I'm wondering, I mean, I do agree with, you know, Jenny when she said that, well, I did, when she said that she thinks that it's residual. I absolutely thought that at first, but now I'm starting to wonder, because I haven't, things have calmed down a lot there, and I'm wondering if it's because, either because we have more people working there, or if it's maybe because we are like acknowledging that this place is, it's Nyer Hill. So I just thought you guys might find that interesting. I sure as hell did. So let me know what you guys think. All right. Thanks.
I think sometimes that is simply the goal of whatever it is that's haunting something, is it just wants a recognition. It wants to be known that you know it's there, and maybe just, you know, to be remembered. I think a lot of people, a lot of souls, a lot of, at the end of the day, you're like, you know, what's your legacy? What are you leaving behind? Does it matter? Everybody wants to matter in some way, shape, or form. And the reality is, at the end of the day, a lot of people live lives and they come and they go, and there's not much that they've done that made that much of an impact either way. And I think sometimes, you know, people do make impacts and it's not recognized. And I think that would be the most, you know, crazy, you know, maddening thing if you're on the other side and go, I did this, I did that. This should be a positive effect on you or in some way. And it's just like, well, whatever. And then you're kind of like, look, just be aware of me. And I think that's what you have going on with a lot of ghosts.
I have two thoughts.
Yep.
The one thought is, I can't believe you didn't mention it first, that her boss has nightmares of Law and Order, which made me laugh out loud.
Who doesn't, though? That's a normal thing.
But the other thing I really do think is key is when there's more people working there. I just think when there's more activity, physical activity with more people in the building, in my life, whenever I've experienced anything, there was not a lot of people around.
Yeah.
So I just think that when there's not a lot of people around, the whole energy of the place is quieter. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe you would hear somebody walking around, but now you got 10 more people working there. Who knows? Yeah. You know, you might be hearing stuff, but you attribute it to the new guy. So I think she's got a point there.
It can be like a catch-22 with the people thing, because you can make the argument of, well, there's more people, there's more energy to be fed off of. Maybe that's true, but at the same point, you're going to notice anything less if there's a lot of movement and people and things going around. You're going to think, well, you know, it's just, yeah, it's the other person down the hall. It's not necessarily anything paranormal.
I think to receive it, to experience it, I think it's harder to break through for yourself to experience it, because there's too many other external things going on in combination with some, you know, a paranormal thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that it happens in large groups of people. Not saying it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I just think it's more likely to occur when they can reach you.
Yeah.
You know, not when there's a whole bunch of people around working and stuff.
I agree. Like when there's fewer people in a building, that's when I've noticed things more and more. For example, I remember being in the radio station and it was about 6 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden the ceiling tile started rattling and you heard this kind of like weird noise that was sounded like somebody was being eaten, or something was being eaten above you. And we determined there was a raccoon in the ceiling tiles. And yes, this was at KFDI.
Oh my God.
Do you remember this at all? This was
I don't.
This is probably about 10 years ago. And I think, yeah, we were in the old, it was we were still down the hall at the old studio. And I remember there was like, they just started rattling. I'm like, what the hell? And I went up into the attic and walked around because you can, there's areas where you can kind of see the tiles way off in those side cubbies. And
there's no way I would walk around that attic at night.
I was afraid.
Way.
I'm like, I had a flashlight. I'm like, what is up here? I'm like, I'm expecting to see like some raccoon like off in the corner, just like hiding, or it's going to be a Christmas Vacation moment. It's just going to like lurch out at me. But I never did find it, but I could hear it like in other areas, and I could tell it was like, it could tell I was coming towards it. So it would scurry between the ceiling tiles and the floor off to another area. I think we, I don't know if they ever got an exterminator or if it just got out the way it came in. I don't know. But yeah, that was a fun day. I think I'd been there like a couple months and I thought, what did I get myself into?
That's so funny. I don't remember. That's why I'm so grateful for Facebook memories, because every now and again, I'm like, I would have never remembered that.
Plague of frogs.
Facebook not told me it happened.
Give me the plague of frogs at that building too.
Yes, we did have frogs in that building. We don't anymore, though.
It was
the frogs have stopped.
It was a horror. I mean, like,
it was kind of biblical.
Oh yeah, that's exactly the word I was just going to use. That's the day my house flooded, when I was living up in Valley Center area, and the lake backed up through my windows.
Remember that?
It was horrific. I'd been there too for like a couple like months, and all of a sudden my basement is filled with water. But it was like 8 inches, 9 inches of rain in like 4 hours or something. It was insane. And the basement ended up flooding at the radio station, but not much. It was like an inch. And they were working on, you know, they got the stuff in there to get it all out. But I remember walking down there. I'm the first one who saw it. It was like on a Saturday morning. I walked downstairs and that was a biblical thing with those frogs. They were, I don't know, hundreds at least.
Oh yeah.
It was like, what the hell just happened? It was like a plague. And
where do they come from? And where do they go to?
I don't know. It's like overnight, they all just came in and like were seeking refuge or something. I don't know. But it was like you couldn't walk. I'm not even exaggerating. You could not walk without accidentally stepping on one. So you kind of shuffled your way through to just kind of knock them out of the way. And I remember Scott, our production guy, would be getting cups of frogs.
He had a frog catching kit.
Yeah, and he would get him and he
labeled frog catching kit.
Go take him back out to the field. They did that for like a whole couple days. It was like National Geographic for a week.
It actually happened for a few years.
Yeah,
anytime it would rain, but we not like the biblical time.
That one was biblical.
Yeah, you would definitely have frogs.
Yeah, that was scary. That was like, oh my God, did somebody put a hex on the building? Scary.
Because they're a little bit adorable, but outside.
Yeah, when you got...
they're not so adorable inside.
300 of them just jumping around. Yeah, that was... it was before like we really all like had like video phones and everything, and that would have made some great video. I don't know why... I don't think anybody took anything like that back then. It was MySpace days. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first letter. It says, my cousin, we can call her Jessica, and I used to spend a lot of time together when we were teenagers in the late 90s. I think it was 1998, and I was staying at her house, which is located in downstate Michigan. It was a two-level home. There was a kid's Casio keyboard downstairs that needed a cord to play it. There was no place for batteries to go. One day, while her dad and mom took her brothers to the lake all day, we decided to play a nice game of Monopoly upstairs. A game could take a long time to play, so we had nothing else to do that day. We're getting into the game when suddenly we heard funeral music coming from the keyboard, a haunting melody that one probably would play at a funeral. That's what we attributed to the sound of funeral music. Jessica's sister had a friend, we'll call him Tim, who'd stop by and walk in the house. He was more like family. So Jessica and I decided to look out of the living room window at the driveway to see if Tim's car was in the driveway. Jessica and I were talking and commenting that we couldn't see Tim's car in the driveway when it hit me. I remembered an event from a couple nights past. The cord from the keyboard had actually broken, and my aunt had put it in the catch-all drawer in the kitchen because she was going to fix it when she had the time. I went over to the drawer to open it and grabbed the cord out and said to my cousin, "There's no way music should be coming out of the keyboard," as I lifted the cord. And the cord is broken. Right then and there, we realized that we were hearing a ghost playing the keyboard. There were other scary stories from that house, but we aren't going to get into them right now. The house is haunted. When her parents and brother came back, they found Jessica and I huddled together in the middle of the living room, white as a ghost, no pun intended. I can still remember it like it was yesterday. I'm 36 right now, and I have other ghost stories. I even lived in a haunted house for 2 years, but this story is one that will always stand out to me. Those are always interesting when you have the, and here's what makes this impossible to have happened logically, twist come into it.
Yeah, and you could, if it's just you, you could say, okay, I'm losing my mind.
Yeah.
But when more than one person hears it, like, why not play something fun, like New Kids on the Block or something? But no, it's funeral music.
Let's see here, 1997, what would have been a great song to, Backstreet Boys would have been good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Backstreet's Back, All Right. Would have been a good, what was a good 97? Were you in country in 97 or were you in rock?
I was in rock music okay. at that time.
So what would have been a good rock in 97 song? Fuel?
Metallica.
Metallica, okay.
Yeah. Enter Sandman. That would have been a great song. That would have been so awesome. Because if they're going to play something, that'd be kind of a little bit creepy. But at the same time, it's rock. But the funeral stuff, that's just creepy.
It'd be even better if we played Enter Sandman on like
exactly.
on the selection on the keyboard of Vibes, where it's this kind of, yeah. It sounds like a lullaby of Vibes. That would be great. I love my keyboard. I played with it all the time when I was a kid. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's jump to our next story. This happened, it says, Rome, summer 2015. My mother and I had moved in a basement apartment directly under our landlord's house. Let's call him D. I thought D to be schizophrenic and even thought I had no proof of this. Anyone could tell he wasn't all right in the head. D lived alone, yet he told how more than once he'd heard or seen a woman run through his apartment. Of course, I didn't believe him, even though I must admit his house gave me a horrible feeling upon those few visits I'd paid him. Anyhow, his house wasn't the only place where strange things would happen. In the summer, I rarely go to bed at an early hour, sometimes falling asleep when the sun rises, and that summer was no different. More than once in those late hours, I heard things falling over from my desk, shifting noises in the kitchen, and a sensation of fear rising in my chest. I tried to give this all a rational explanation, but one night, the unexplainable happened to me. Before I tell you, keep in mind that these are not possible explanations. It was not a dream. It couldn't have been something outside. It was not an illusion. But I had not consumed any hallucinogenics. It was around 3 a.m, and after I was done fiddling with my phone, I decided to sleep. I remember clear as day the moment I raised from bed to put my phone into the charger. Keep in mind that Rome has one of the most unbearable summers in all of Europe for its heat, constantly accompanied by humidity. But suddenly, I felt cold. Not simply cold, but freezing, as though ice had penetrated my body. It scared me, and I still had no reason for it to be like this. But then I sat down on my bed and I saw it. A neon blue light, similar to a cloud of smoke, passed mere inches above my head, floated toward the other side of the room, and faded into the wall. For what felt like hours, I was completely petrified. Then I gained up the courage to rise from my bed and sprint to my mother's room, where I spent the following 3 nights. From that night on, I couldn't simply ignore the shifting noises and the pens falling over from my desk. I must admit I was more than glad when my mother announced we would be moving the following October. And that's where it ends. What happens before the move?
Exactly.
I know.
I want to know more.
I do too. I wonder how that move went or exactly. if it went.
Did they move? Because yeah. you just announced it.
I'm assuming they moved. I'm thinking this came in after the fact, but who really knows? But obviously, a lot of stuff happening in that nice summer home there in Rome.
But having just been to Rome, like to me, that entire city has to be haunted.
Sure,
there's just so much history, and it's so old that you just feel stuff everywhere you go. Because I was convinced we had an Airbnb, and I'm like, I just know the place is going to be haunted. But I don't think it was, because I didn't pick up on anything at all. But just looking at the building, I just knew. Because everywhere you look, I'm like, everything. It's like, that has to be haunted. That has to be haunted.
Is having a ghost over there about as exciting as having pets over here? You know, it's like, pretty much everybody has a pet, you know, and it's like, oh, you have a pet. That's great. But if you have a ghost here, that's exciting. Over there, is it like, yeah, we all have ghosts, big deal. Is it just kind of just a passive thing?
I don't know. I would think it'd be interesting to talk to locals about that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I didn't ask anybody. It's like, cool church. Hey, is it haunted?
Yeah.
But, I mean, all those old churches, that's where I had those weird experiences, was in old churches.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that it's just such a common thing that it's just not a... It's not a big deal. I mean, sure, it's like a point of conversation, but it's more just, it's on the excitement level of, you know, I had macaroni and cheese for dinner last night and the ghost visited me. Oh, that's great. Hey, let's watch Netflix. You know, it's,
I mean, you know, that's the city where they killed people for entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, it's got a very tortured past.
Yeah.
And Jesus came along. I mean, there's just a lot.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. Yeah. Yeah. A good story. Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Next letter says, I have a few stories to share with you. My grandparents died very young, around 68 to 72 years old, all four of them. I love them very much, still do. I have several tattoos reflecting my grandparents. After they passed, I can't remember how long or how many months or years, but I have noticed that at night I could feel someone sit on the end of my bed. The bed goes down like someone is sitting there. I just have a weird feeling it's one of my grandparents. I always say, hi, Grandma or Grandpa. I love you and miss you very much. This has happened on several mattresses, my childhood one, and a few bought with my husband at the time. Does not matter. I feel it from time to time. I'm never scared. Another one, this happened to my ex-husband during our marriage. His father dies very young, in his 40s. My husband was 21 at the time. He died of cancer. Several of his family members had experiences after his death, but my husband didn't. This bothered him. Why is he not contacting me? Well, a year or so later, my husband was dealing with a drunk individual and taking him to the ER for a blood draw. He's a deputy sheriff, and this occurred around 2 or 3 a.m. No one was around, and the individual was difficult. They happened to be at the same hospital that his dad passed away in. It was a very dark night, and he looked up from dealing with this individual when he saw a patient standing under a light by one of the doorways. The patient was smoking, wearing a blue robe and slippers. He could not see his face very well. He watched as he thought, why is a hospital letting a patient smoke at 3 a.m. in the building? The patient walked into the parking lot and then just disappeared. His father smoked, wore blue robes and slippers. I don't have more information to share. If I do, I'll share it with you later. Thanks to the podcast. I started listening recently. I love it. I like the true stories, not the crap you find out there that's so fake. I love hearing the stories and listening to you both talk about them. Thank you again. Well, yeah, I would think that that's a pretty clear-cut thing. It's wearing what his father wore. He's smoking at 3 a.m. and then disappears into the parking lot. I don't know of another explanation there.
It's an interesting, because you want that kind of warm and fuzzy experience with your dad.
Sure.
You know, and then just to be like, that's kind of a weird experience.
Yeah.
Like the one she was talking about with the grandparents and feels like somebody's sitting on the bed. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like, that's what you want to happen.
Sure.
But, you know, I would want some kind of interaction with my dad. Don't, you know, but maybe it's just that his way of coming to him so he knows that his dad is there.
Sure.
You know, it's not like I'm not interfering in your life, but just know I'm always watching, you know, and there for you.
And I could see, you know, the kid going, well, why didn't you come say something to me? And the dad being like, I didn't want to scare you. You know, it's like, well, I should have said something, you know, and just kind of that back and forth that I think a lot of dads will have where, well, here's my rational explanation for only doing this much. And it's like, well, there's your answer. But I think that he did get his confirmation that the dad was there. What about ghosts?
I'd be curious to know if he ever had any more experiences, like, or if he, not even that he like saw him again necessarily, but like if he felt him around him again.
What about ghosts sitting on water beds? You know, we always hear about ghosts sitting on regular beds and you can feel them there. I would think you'd have to really good, you'll get like the waves going on if the ghost sat on the waterbed. That would be...
Well, you'd have to talk to somebody, you know, like in the 70s who had one.
It still has a waterbed. I thought waterbeds were the coolest thing when I was a kid, and I vowed someday I will get a waterbed. And I also wanted like the shiny, I don't even know what it's even called. Like, is it onyx? Like the black? There was a whole line of like bedroom furniture in the 80s, and there'd always be one set of it at the furniture store. Usually the bedroom set was a waterbed, but it was this shiny black material. Well, I don't know what it was. It was
Jen's going to love it when you buy that.
Oh, God, it was horrible. It looked like something they probably had like in the Miami Vice, like, you know, bedroom, but it was just this shiny black. And it looked, you know, when I was five, I thought, oh, that looks so cool.
I remember when I was in high school, there was a guy, he'd graduated. And so it's like really cool. We're going to somebody who's out of high school's party. Mm-hmm. And he had one of those bedroom setups like that, that kind of cheap looking waterbed. I don't know exactly what had happened earlier in the day. I kind of have a feeling it had to do with somebody cheating on somebody. But they came in and they stabbed the waterbed.
Oh, God.
And so the guy's going to have a party that night and decided, oh, well, I'll still have the party. The entire house is just soaked.
From the waterbed.
He had a king-size waterbed.
Oh, my God.
And they stabbed it. And it was just water was everywhere. Then they just put newspaper down. Like, that's going to absorb it. I don't even know where they found all that newspaper.
And all the damage that was probably done. And the newspaper. Like, that's going to be the
flooring. And you just rented the apartment.
Oh, it's like, God.
It's like, that's okay. We can still have the party.
You know, I've thought of, you know, looking into like doing the landlord thing several times in my life. Like, that'd be a good way to make some money or something. But then you hear stories like that and you're like, fuck it. There's no, I couldn't handle it. Because I know there's like laws out there. Not, I mean, I know there's laws against murdering people, but it'd be like laws against
people still do it.
I know, but you can't, like, if you find out that they did that, my instinct would be get the fuck out right now. I'd want to evict them the moment that I found out they did something that stupid. But you can't do that, and it's your property, and you just have to sit there and let them continue to make poor decisions until they can leave at the legal time that you have to give them. I don't have the patience for stupidity, and I don't think I could ever handle it with something.
Oh God,
like
no,
that.
No. This house that I live in now, that's not haunted.
Yeah.
Before, there's a mom with like a bunch of kids that had lived here, and they moved out. And so one day the doors were open, no one was here. So I thought, it's going to come up for rent. I'm going to peek in, see what it looks like. Because we were looking for a new place in the neighborhood.
Carol's home invasion.
And it was actually, it looked like instead of throwing trash outside, they just threw it in the basement.
Oh, God.
And the basement was like knee deep. Like I couldn't even walk in the basement. It was just knee deep, just trash. I'm like, how do you live like that?
Some people live like squirrels. It's like, what? How? How?
You have children. Yeah. That's what really made me mad.
I don't know. When I was a kid, the only, I think I've talked about this on the show before, the only time I'd ever actually been into my dad's parents, their farmhouse, because they had passed before I was born, and my family just rented out the home for years. But when I was about 8 or 9 years old, the rent came up, and the renters, I think they got kicked out. I don't know what the reason was, but they got kicked out. But when they left, because they gave them their 30-day notice or whatever it was, they left. It was literally a mountain of stuff in the garage. Just everything from furniture to Happy Meal toys to you name it. And it would then all of the family, the brothers, the sisters, everybody kind of had to come in for a weekend and kind of get the place cleaned up and go through the mountain of stuff. And as a kid, I'm looking at this mountain of stuff and it's all free, you know, because it's just trash. but it wasn't like diapers or, you know, dirty things. It was just stuff. And I had a great time just kind of picking through it like, oh, look at this. And it was like, throw it away. What about this? Throw it away. It was just, that's kind of how that whole weekend went. But
that'd be weird if like your house was haunted by a hoarder ghost.
It would be.
Like, instead of things just moving, things would just appear.
You come home.
Keep appearing.
You come home like, and like everything from QVC that was on the air that day is in your room.
I didn't get this. I didn't get that.
That's never been the excuse on hoarders, I don't think. Because there's always 1,000 excuses, but no one's ever said, a ghost did this. I can't help it.
They just keep bringing stuff in my house.
Ah, that'd be a great one. 855.
Just keep bringing in cats.
I found another one under the sofa. 855-853-4802. Our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Another letter says, earlier this week, I had a dream with my deceased grandfather who died in 2004. In the dream, he was holding my newborn son, who I'm still pregnant with. And I knew in my dream it was a spirit. The next day, my grandmother, his ex-wife, had a bad stroke and is currently in the hospital. I have a feeling that his visiting me was to forewarn me that this was to happen and to let me know he'll be watching over his great-grandson when he arrives. Besides the usual psychic experiences I have, I believe in the supernatural and have done a great deal of reading and learning on the subject. My current home I live in with my husband is haunted as well. He's lived here for a while, and has told me of light bulbs constantly blowing up on him when he would freshly change them, and the distinct movement of a dark shadow behind him. These events haven't happened to him in a while, but they have happened to me since the second day we moved in. The second day, I had no clue that any of these things had happened to him. I was feeling very lazy and decided to try and take a nap in our bedroom. Now, our bed was located right next to the doorway, so you'd have to wait until someone walked into the room to know who it was. As I was saying, I was lying on the bed, home alone, and I heard a car door slam right outside in our driveway. I thought that was odd because no one that we know would be visiting us. After this happened, our side door opened and I heard footsteps walk around our kitchen. I did not know how to react because I thought it was a burglar at first. I just laid in bed frozen from fright of being attacked and killed. Finally, the footsteps stopped and I waited. I grabbed a heavy object and snuck out into the kitchen only to find no one there. If the person had left, I would have heard the door close, but I heard nothing. A while later, still shook up, I returned to bed and started reading a paternal book. Again, I heard the side door open from the outside and a person walk inside. The footsteps came right up to our bedroom doorway and stopped. I was so scared that I couldn't move. I looked, but no one was there. Suddenly, my cat jumped down from the bed and ran into our hallway and started intently going into our bathroom, which is right next to our room. I was so scared, I called my husband at work and told him, and he laughed and said, I was wondering when you'd experience something. Since this experience, I've had a few others here, nothing as scary as that, but I soon started seeing dark shadows pass out of my peripheral vision. We'll have items disappear from where we thought we put them and show up somewhere completely different. Too much creepy stuff. Before living here and meeting my husband, I was a maid for a maid company. We had a ton of houses to go to every week, and a few houses I've been in once, and that was it. One house in particular was of an elderly gentleman who lost his wife quite a few years ago. He lived alone in his home. We came there on a weekly basis to clean. While I'd be cleaning, I would get the impression that someone or something was watching me. I asked my maid partner if he had cats or anything, and he said no. So every time I'd be vacuuming a room or cleaning the shower, I'd have an intense feeling of being surveyed. I ran out to my partner and told her about it. She said that she's never experienced anything as I have, but she's gotten bad vibes from here. He was a sweet old man, and I'm sure his wife was too. I just somehow got the feeling that she wanted the home left alone and disapproved of my presence. I've had other experiences at other houses, but I'll write in about them another time. I still have more to tell of my high school years at my parents' home. My parents' home is relatively small and was built in the late 1970s. My family is only the second or third that has inhabited the home, so I never thought to experience a ghostly experience of any kind there. One day after school, I was reading my English homework and was home alone. To my right, in the doorway to the kitchen and the living room where I was, I heard a man and woman standing 6 feet away from me and bickering to each other intensely. I couldn't decipher what they were saying because it was muffled, but it was right next to me. It was like recorded in time. My dog sitting at my feet got up, stared at the area, and barked and growled like crazy. I checked the entire house to see if we had any TVs or radios on, but nothing. A few months after that occurrence, I was home, and my father had just left for work. I was then left home alone. was in my closet searching for a pair of shoes. My closet door was right next to my bedroom door that was open. I then heard my father's heavy work boots walk down the hallway towards my room. They went into our den instead. The door slammed and shut very hard. He had already left, so I said, "Dad, did you forget something?" I did not get a reply. When he didn't come out, after a few minutes, I thought it was odd because he was going to be late for work. I opened the den door and he was gone. No one was there. I looked outside and his truck was still gone. Never came home. The window was closed, so there was no draft for the door to slam shut as hard as it did. I'm going to take it on this one that this person may be a sensitive and picks up on these things more than others to have this many occurrences in their life.
Oh, I totally agree. Because I, you know, there are definitely people like that who can.
Mm-hmm.
I think some people, it would be really hard to get through to them.
Yeah.
But other people, and I think, you know, too, it's a lot of people like me who experienced it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier for me to experience it throughout my life.
Sure.
If that makes sense. Just because I've kind of always been open to it, even though I'd rather not be.
Sure. And some things are strong enough where almost anyone will pick up on it. But it seems like a lot of the things that they're explaining that have occurred to them are fairly similar in nature. So it almost makes it, you know, it's kind of like, okay, you're on that level of picking up things. You can hear the sounds. You can kind of feel this or that. And that's where your sensitivity is at, because those seems to be the repeated patterns of what's been going on around them throughout their life. I found the name of that show. It's a
Stephen King thing.
Yes, it's a Hulu series, and it has been renewed for a second season. Castle Rock. Have you seen it?
No, because I don't have the Hulu.
You got to get the Hulu, Carol. God, get with it.
Can I get on yours?
I can't. Yeah, you probably. I can give you the password. Sure. The Stephen King multiverse is a setting for the psychological horror. It takes place in Castle Rock, Maine, which is also a location for much of his other work. Including Shawshank Redemption, The Mist, and several others. I looked it up. The town has like its own Wikipedia page, but it has it's not for every single Stephen King book, but a good chunk that surround this fictional Maine town.
But so. I just see how you would do that. You've created all that in your brain for one book.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be easy to kind of revisit that.
Yeah. Have you ever been out to Maine?
You see it so well. Have I what?
Have you ever been out to Maine?
I have not.
This story takes place about the Castle Rock is supposedly fictionally set, I guess, about 30 miles outside of Portland, Maine. And we actually went there on our honeymoon. And it's a beautiful town. It's interesting. You know, there's the term Maynards that they use for being from Maine. And it's an interesting group of people. And I don't even know how to describe it, because there's some that seemed, and this could probably be, you know, said about any place in the country these days, but some that were extremely friendly and some that were just really distant. I don't know. It's like we were in a tourist town, but it was a couple times we went into places that were clearly like tourist destinations, and we're just kind of looked at like, why are you here? And it's like,
I'm a tourist. I know. This is a destination.
And like, we went to this one restaurant that had been featured on an Anthony Bourdain show, and it was just kind of like a hole in the wall oyster type restaurant. And I was really excited. I'm like, this looks like it'll be fun. And it was like they were very put off that we were even in the place. And I wasn't going like, hey, did Anthony Bourdain eat here? Did this happen? Did that happen? I just ordered, you know, or attempted to order. And it was just, I don't know. It was an interesting, thing.
It's like, I'm trying to spend my money with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not every place. There were some other places in Maine that were lovely. And there were places in Portland that were lovely, too. I have some friends that live out in that area, too. It's just an interesting group of folks. It's something you notice when you're not in the area of question. I notice it now more and more about up north. For like Wisconsin people and Minnesota people. I noticed it yesterday. We were at Cracker Barrel, of all places, and there was a group of Minnesotans. And I grew up in that area, so I'm so used to the way the dialect and the way people speak. And now that I haven't been there for damn near 20 years, I'm not used to it. And when I see people from that area and they stand out in a restaurant like a sore thumb, and it's not everybody, but there's a lot of it, a lot of very loud talking with the accent and very, there's a brash sense of humor up there. It's not necessarily rude, and nobody really thinks they're being rude when they are kind of being rude, because they all kind of do it to each other. There's a lot of like kind of, it's kind of poking at each other, but it's kind of in jest up there, so everybody gets it. But when you're doing the in jest poking in a different part of the country, it comes across totally different. And they were kind of poking at the waiter a little bit, and everyone in the restaurant was just like staring at this group of people. Like, oh my God, I can't believe they just said that to the waiter. But then they're all just laughing about it. They weren't like being rude, like, screw you, we're not going to give you a tip. It was just, it's the culture of up there, and very loud in the way of doing it too. But it stood out to me, and I went, oh my God, I grew up around that everywhere. And it's not appropriate anywhere but there.
And the crazy thing is, if you went back for like 2 weeks, by the end of the 2 weeks, you'd be just like them.
I hope not.
It would all come back to you again.
That's why I spend.
You wouldn't even know you were doing it.
I get loud. I do talk louder when you're up there because you almost have to be heard with the way that people almost like shout to each other to communicate. And I don't know if it's because every restaurant in Wisconsin has a bar in it that's right next to the dining room, so it gets very, very loud, so you have to shout to be heard at dinner, or what it is. But it's certainly a thing. But there you go. Good times. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up our program for today. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com. And for $5 a month, get access to every single EPP bonus episode of the show. You get access to all the advanced episodes, video content, and more. You can sign up through Patreon as well. The links are both there. Choose your flavor and help us stay on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.